This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the Bristol Con Fringe reading series. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Bristol Con Fringe. I'm told that today is a very special day, and there has actually been a sneaky amount of cake earlier on, which those of you who arrived on time have obviously missed. It is apparently Des's birthday, so congratulations, Des. Happy birthday. Yeah. I don't suppose Des wants us to say how old she is, but I can tell you that she's an awful lot younger than I am. So don't feel too bad about it, Des. Good. Alrighty. Now, we got, as usual, two readers for you today, and our first reader is going to be Jo Walton. Now, for the benefit of the people on the podcast, it's not that Jo Walton. Our Jo Walton is not female, as far as I know, not Welsh, doesn't live in Canada, and hasn't been published by Tor yet. Although, of course, that may change, because who knows who's out there listening to what's going to be going down on the Bristol Con Fringe podcast. So, without any further ado, can we have a very warm welcome, please, for Mr. Jo Lindsay Walton.
Hello. Happy birthday. I'm going to read a short story called It's Okay to Say If You Went Back in Time and Killed Baby Hitler. And because it's a time travel story, I'm going to read the first sentence. The first sentence is going to be the last sentence, and the last... Yeah. You know that spiced pumpkin latte Starbucks don't do at this time of year? Part one. Admit it. You went back in time and killed baby Hitler. Official reason? Avert the Holocaust in World War II. But the truth, averting the Holocaust in World War II, that was kind of more like an additional upside. The mission's core driver was brand recognition. That's definitely the way that Ash felt about things. What better way to roll out the universe's first linearity disruptor startup than to kill baby Hitler? When you say to people on the street, time travel, they say, kill baby Hitler. It's something people are already comfortable with. And that is so important. Because with time travel, the negative narratives are out there already. To the nope community, KBH is a teachable moment. What could be more memorable than, yeah, okay, not memorable, super the opposite of memorable, even had it worked like it was supposed to, because if it had worked, which it didn't, then everybody would have been like, you killed who? And this person was a baby. Doesn't sound very ethical. You should go to jail. We hate this press conference. Still, Umeko said it best. Going back in time and killing baby Hitler, it just has to be done. You can't not. It's Umeko who volunteers in a big way, and the first thing she says, blinking back into the 2016 time stream, wrapped in the time rig and ribbons of rising time steam, all up in your riverfront mezzanine lab space that the six of you rent from what you're pretty sure is a procedurally generated tech lab space rentals firm based on Ash's Google history called Gillian Anderson Linearity and Linearity Disruption Services Incubation Services, is... So, like, how many people would you say were killed in wars in the 20th century? Ballpark, asking for a friend. Shit, do you guys speak English? You didn't get your guy, says Ash tranquilly. Am I speaking English yet? I don't know what you're talking about, but speaking personally, I just went back in time and killed baby Hitler. Ash shrugs. Hitler lived. Nothing's changed. I don't want to get too graphic. Is I beheaded baby Hitler too graphic? Okay. I mean... Did you bring back the head? Umeko punches release. With a satisfying hiss, the zany punctuation of the time rig scaffold peels from Umeko's torso, and as the chinks of opened frost sublime, for a second her silhouette stands transfixed in the center of a ghost-pale rose tree. Steam flowers glide apart in the unobtrusive AC, and the mezzanine lab's ambient cerulean refulgence downshifts to a marbled teal and lemon glow. Umeko sags. You guys, if this is some kind of epic troll, I have had the worst. I knew it, yells Belle. We all knew it deep down. Great man theory is bullshit. It's all about the economics, you guys. History has a structure. If Hitler wasn't Hitler, somebody else had to become Hitler. Belle's smart chair slowly smart swivels her to face the wall. We are not going back, Umeko moans. Never return to the scene of the crime, especially if you're still already there. And as for you? The mezzanine lab space is filling with other people's feelings right now. You feel your usual urge to fade into the background, possibly literally, but you do lean in to murmur, or just the torso, Umeko, babes? No? Because you feel like that's important. About 160 million, Liz says, in that same monotone she always uses, but which is particularly good for announcing numbingly large numbers of war dead. To answer your original question, 55 million died in World War II, depending on methodology. Liz, that sounds like it might be the offensive estimate, Belle says, counter-scooching her keister contra the smart chair's steady clockwork curling. Might want to check if those are the offensive ones. Hedvig purrs. You could go 5 minutes earlier. Her first contribution since Umeko shimmered into your time stream. You could kill baby Hitler again and be a little bit more professional about it this time. Hell no, bedhead, says Umeko. Me going back. That's when shit kicks off. That's when, for some unimaginable reason, I hide the real baby Hitler and replace him with whoever I just killed. Who was Hitler, by the way? People, soothes Ash. Don't call it a setback. Call it a set different. Great man theory. Belle says smugly to the wall she's facing. Belle, please, Umeko sighs. Why would the new Hitler still be called Hitler? Belle frowns and bobs her head from side to side. Okay, yeah. Doo-doo tish, says Ash. Conundrum. Umeko buries her face in her hands. I did the DNA pinprick. It was the Führer. Couldn't have been more him if he'd had the moustache. I have been thinking of him as with the moustache, confesses Hedvig. I went back to 1890. I disrupted the fucking incumbent with a fucking sword. I knew we should have adopted him, said Liz, and then used my line. I support you, interrupts Hedvig, but none of us thinks your line quite sums up our offering, Liz. We adopted Hitler in 1889. How early will you adopt? It's a good line, says Liz. And actually, we've made that clear on a number of occasions, says Hedvig. Beheaded, says Umeko, and you? No one's really watching, so you slip into the time rig and start adjusting the sliders. But take a moment to upside this, says Ash. I, for one, am happy to continue to have been born. Speak for yourself, heckles Umeko. Take a moment to be present in the moment you're taking a moment to be present in, Ash says. Get yourselves into a comfortable posture. I want to smell that self-care coming off you, okay? I want you to focus on the crown of your head and then feel your attention shift your temples and forehead. Good job. And then feel your attention shift to some possible solutions. Why are we still in this timeline? What are we feeling, guys? Liz hazards, when you change stuff in the past, it just doesn't affect the future. Superb. Run with it. Like your editing code that has already run, I retract the hypothesis. I see so many problems with it already. Liz, like, I'd have to stay behind to watch my edits unfold all the way to the present. Guys, I don't have that kind of, I said, I retract it. Thanks, hun. I already have so much on my plate, and I've had such a horrible... You have, soothes Ash, you have. Do you need some space? We don't need to do this now. Some of us do need to do this now, but you don't specifically need to do this. We don't need to do anything at any particular time, says Belle hollowly. This is just something I found, says Liz. This is real. It's called night. Suddenly a cry rose up from the wagon, the cry of a wounded animal. Someone had just died. Others, feeling that they too were about to die, imitated his cry. Hundreds of cries rose up simultaneously, not knowing against whom we cried, not knowing why. The death rattle. Liz, please. Thank you truly for sharing. But please. There's always some massacre going on. People are always being butchered. It's like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. You can't think about it all the time. You can't pretend we're hog-tied in the wilderness when there's a Starbucks just there. 160 million dead is a tragedy. One baby Hitler dead is just a statistical rounding error. I don't know, says Liz. It's like now we have the time travel rig. None of it is in the past anymore. All of that death, it is all here. Do you need to... play your safety song, Liz. The racism and the death, it's in this room. But you know, somehow it was always like that. all along. I don't know. I don't know. You guys and you? You must have shifted your weight, made some sound, because everyone is staring at the time travel rig. At you. Ash double takes. What are you doing in the... And that's when you ping back to 1890 and see what you see. Part two. Guys, you explain, shimmering into 2016, everything is okay. We have competition. Bleaken moment, the others call themselves. If your team is all engineering, then Bleaken moment are wizards. That thing about advanced magic and technology being indistinguishable, it makes zero sense if you know anything about branding. You, by the way, call yourselves Deliver Ruins. Bleak and Wizard look more clockwork punky, you try to explain. Seem to have some kind of limited range teleport capacity, possibly with cooldown. But whatever and whenever they're from and however their rig works and whatever reason they have for messing with us, they have the edge on us. They put the stet on Umeko's quest, and they didn't break a sweat. Barriers to entry, murmurs Hedvig. And you? You're just happy nobody's noticed. You've been away for 3 years. It wasn't an easy hunt. You can borrow it, says Ash quietly. Just ask. So these rivals of ours saved Baby Hitler? Why can't Umeko remember? Umeko is halfway through a salt caramel muffin. I feel like I remember something like that. Listen carefully now, you explain. Bleaken moment sort of bookended Umeko's space-time. After seeing what you just saw, you feel like you have to say murdered now, but you soften it by saying we. The child we murdered. Our competitors whisk him away the moment before Umeko's first sword stroke. Then they put him back nanoseconds later, and that version does die. But meanwhile, they've forked baby Hitler. They go to some quiet, out-of-way nook of time. They let him crawl around for about a minute, then zip him back in time one more minute. So now there are two baby Hitlers. They take the spare one. We get it, says Umeko. Bell squints. Aye, obviously. Any chance they're us, says Ash. Future cells, branched cells, folded cells, reverting our own edits. I mean, probably, you say. I don't care. Homecoming Oppo research hero, be frank, says Hedvig. Are we unbundling baby Hitler? Babes, you say. We are unbundling baby Hitler. Ash starts pacing, eyes lit. Yeah, it's a competitive market, duopoly probably. Resource we're fighting over is Hitler seconds. He's not infinitely reproducible, infinitely fungible. There are limits. The tech imposes certain limits. Bleaken moment might be cosmic cleanup crew types. Maintain the fabric of reality, god-level tech, admin privilege. Even so, their interventions can't take zero time, Bell. Baby Hitler has a granularity, he ages. There's a sense in which he's exhaustible. I agree with Ash. Hitler seconds are scarce. At some point, you have a grown Hitler situation. But actually, this is going to be game over long before that. Can we backwards induct this? He can become less Hitler-like, too, Umeko points out. I'm thinking arbitrage. Killing baby Hitler may not even be necessary. We could adopt true, Liz. Although, killing baby Hitler is our USP. It's in the covenant. Hitler seconds. Hey, Liffield, what if we go back in time and just keep working for Airbnb and don't spin off our R&D unit into a time travel startup? Everybody stares at Bell. How does that kill baby Hitler? I'm modeling now, says Hedvig, sketching on her tablet. Is the Bleaken time rig hard indexed to Earth's gravity well as the same as ours? I just hated it there. No, I hated the way I felt about myself when I was there. I was constantly on edge, you agree. Sometimes there isn't even breakfast. I always felt on edge about that. If so, it becomes a question of how quickly you can shunt baby Hitler out of the space his double needs to occupy, or his multiples. Moments like this re-spark all your love and respect for Hedvig. The outlines of a baby Hitler battery farm have formed on Hedvig's tablet. That's all it is. However fast we can get baby Hitler out of the way, they can copy-paste for him. Ash frowns. A lot of assumptions here. I love it. Can we move a healthy 10-month human 30 inches sideways at 8 Gs? Are you saying, can we ethically? Says Hedvig. I've been thinking bodily integrity-wise. Existential integrity-wise, not just bodily. Superb, says Ash. Run with that, Belle. Love it. Only that the original baby Hitler, the one that grew up and did World War II, has never moved sideways at 8 Gs. Intensely formative experiences like that make this baby less Hitlerish and a head-to-head. Hedvig taps rapidly. We will need a close list to Hitler's experiences as toddler function and some thresholds. Liz fiddles with her phone and four non-blondes 1992 WhatsApp hit strums to life. Liz has a neurodiversity letter of mark from the procedurally generated HR Clippy to play this particular song whenever she needs to, trying to get up that great big hill of hope. For some reason, to you, it feels like the closing credits of a show. Correction, says Hedvig. We won't need a function and thresholds. We'll need the best approximation of what they're working off. And I'll just take a deep breath, sings Belle, who originally opposed this reasonable workplace adjustment. And I get real high. Should we use gamification, you say timidly? Sorry, that's probably dumb. I should mention this is my first half day back at work in 3 years. You look amazing, Umeko tells you. You look great. Move them forward. Sorry, did not mean to interrupt everybody. Just saying to Hedvig, move the baby Hitlers forward 20 inches, not sideways 10. You reach and squeeze Umeko's hands. Thanks. Oh, yeah. They'll be shaving it any way they can, right, Ash? They'll have a fine-grained matter conveyance. Do we even need to copy-paste the whole baby Hitler? Could they cut margins by just replacing the specific organ tissue we assassinate on each iteration? Nerve splicing, says Ash. Love it. Fibrin glue, Photoshop skill set. Run with that. Can someone get Starbucks? And can somebody get a baby Hitler in here just so that we know what it is that you are already configuring the sliders? Whoa. Our competitors keep folding baby Hitler and inserting him back into history. We keep killing him. Yes, Liz, says Hedvig in a carefully judged not to be patronizing tone. Doesn't that eventually imply an out of the way nook where we throw baby Hitlers in a macerator? A death camp for baby Hitlers. Liz starts snuffling, hard to make out, with the hey, yeah, yeah, yes. But it's either giggling or crying. Superb, says Ash. Big picture time. What's the point of killing baby Hitler? Who were we when we began this? Well, we may all take our own view. Have you gone yet? No, you lie. You've only been gone a week this time. Diversified your startups big time. Put out some feelers with the Bleakin guys. Interesting guys. Oh my God, do I pray. I pray every single day for a revolution. You smile nervously into Ash's cool gaze. Swear your bun was bigger just now. Before you do go, I would say that no death camps is, I just feel really strongly on this, no death camps is where we need to be. We need to be crushing the no death camp space. Five uncertain faces hover. Come on, you guys, you say. Death camps is their brand. And then murmurs of approval run through the room. Hedvig touches your wrist. Hey, you know that spiced pumpkin latte Starbucks don't do this time of year?
BristolCon Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the BristolCon Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.